I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Eureka, the show that gets under the skin of science as we invite a new expert every week to help us answer one of science's most interesting questions. I'm Rick Edwards.
And I'm Dr. Michael Brooks.
And which question have you selected this week as one of science's most interesting?
A new report on vaping caught my eye a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And since both of my children smoke and one of them vapes, I thought, wouldn't it be
Vapes as well as smokes?
Perfect.
It's
called dual use.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I've been reading the literature. It's perfect, isn't it? So I'm interested to know, basically, you know, if vaping is better than smoking, and it's kind of obvious that the answer might be yes.
The answer is yes.
but I just thought we'd kind of, you know, look into it. Vapes are everywhere. I've seen some researchers claim it's basically going to take us into a public health catastrophe. So I'm wondering, is vaping actually any better than cigarettes? And if so, is it without harm? So that's kind of what we're going to look into.
Have you ever
vaped?
Never vaped, I don't think.
No, me neither. Have you ever smoked?
No. Yeah, occasionally. So if I get drunk, I might have a couple of cigarettes.
Right.
But I can't. I mean, sober, I wouldn't be able to. I mean, I'm really not a smoker.
I'm the same. Ideal. Great.
Smoker.
So we can both talk about it. Yeah. From all our experience.
Yeah.
I mean, the only time I've smoked cigarettes is when I was very drunk and I had like one cigarette. And this is like, you know, literally early 20s. I had a hangover that lasted for 48 hours after that for some reason. I felt at that point that smoking wasn't for me.
I'm guessing that the smoking wasn't the key factor.
Oh, I think it was. I think it the combination.
It doesn't help.
It certainly didn't help me. Mm. No. I've not really touched one since, I don't think.
I think I might, actually. A few years ago, our mutual friend, and you better guess who this is. And I think it's probably fine to say who it is. But anyway, I was at his, and he was smoking, I think like cannabis oil or something from a, I think it was from a vape, but I genuinely didn't know what it was.
Okay.
This was a few years ago.
Yeah.
I'd never seen one. Some sort of machine. And he was quite sort of into it.
Yeah.
He said it was a purer way of doing it.
Of course it was.
And so I had a go on that. And actually, it was more agreeable than, like, if I can't smoke.
Than smoking a joint.
I can't do that. Like, I mean, I get a massive headache and pull a whitey, like, really quickly.
Really?
Yeah, it's not for me. Whereas on this, it was quite pleasant, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's my only experience. And I'm guessing that was a vape because I don't know what else it could have been.
So he was an early adopter.
He was an early adopter, yeah.
God bless him.
Yeah, he's all over his drug paraphernalia, that guy.
Why don't you settle back?
Settle back.
And have a full-flavored smoke. Have a Marlboro cigarette.
Make yourself comfortable. Have a Marlboro.
There are about 6.9 million adult smokers in the UK. That is a number that has continued to decline since 1974. We've seen laws restricting where you can smoke, how cigarettes can be advertised, and huge government campaigns encouraging people to quit.
When you smoke, the chemicals you inhale cause mutations in your body, and mutations are how cancer starts. If you could see the damage, you'd stop.
Cigarettes have slowly been falling out of favour, but whilst people may be stubbing out their smoking habits, they've not quit puffing away altogether. The number of adults vaping in the UK has seen a sharp increase,
It's a craze that swept the country, gaining huge popularity amongst young people in particular. But how much do we actually know about these fruity e-cigarettes and what they might be doing to people's bodies? Could they actually be worse for you than cigarettes? That's why this week we're asking, is vaping our next public health emergency?
So we have got, as our experts for this, not one...
Experts,
plural. Not one, but two of the authors of this report that I was talking about. You know, I mean, this is the kind of reach we've got, is we see something that interests us, and we reach out, and they say, of course we'll help.
Two. I mean, yeah. I'm reeling from two experts. Yeah, we've never had two experts.
So we've got Eve Taylor, who's a research assistant at King's College London, and Dr. Katie East, who is a Society for the Study of Addiction academic fellow at King's College London.
What's their report?
So the report is called Nicotine Vaping in England. It was commissioned by Public Health England and the Office for Health Improvement and Disparities in the Department of Health and Social Care. So it's a government report, just published at the end of September. And basically, you know, according
Office
to
for Health Improvement and Disparities.
Yeah, I've never heard of
never
it either.
Heard of it.
Basically, a recent report showed that people aged 11 to 18. Had doubled the amount of vaping they're doing. I think from 2020, it was like 4%, and now it's 8.6%.
Not doubled the amount of vaping. The numbers of those people vaping have doubled
in the last couple of years. So it seems like a good time to ask if this is kind of taking us somewhere we don't want to go. And of course, smoking has fallen over that same period.
So by a comparable amount?
It's gone down slightly. So from 6.7% of those... that age group to 6%. Mm. So it's not. So you get the impression there is some dual use going on there.
So, yeah, you do. I mean, this is quite fraught, isn't it? Because, A, it feels quite soon to be drawing any conclusions about vaping because it hasn't been around for long enough. Yeah. So certainly, if you want to know what the long-term effects are, well, good luck. You're going to have to wait. That's just a fact, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you look at the tobacco industry, who are obviously pivoting quite enthusiastically towards vaping at the moment, and remember how they obfuscated and lied about the science behind smoking.
For so long. And got away with it so successfully. Yeah. I mean, they pioneered this whole idea of just cast doubt on the science.
Yeah.
All you need to do is tell politicians it's not settled yet. I mean, we've talked about this before because it's used in climate change.
Yeah,
isn't it? It's
the absolute playbook that all of the climate change dickheads use.
So you'll be very pleased to know that the tobacco industry is doing exactly the same thing with vaping.
Oh, what a surprise!
So there was a study out recently about conflict of interest, like when it's declared by the researchers who are doing studies into vaping. And basically, if you're doing studies into vaping and you have some kind of conflict of interest, you know, you're getting money from big tobacco or whatever, only 39% of papers found harmful effects, like potentially harmful effects in vaping. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you don't have tobacco money, 95% of the papers found potential harmful effects.
I mean, it's embarrassing, isn't it?
It sort of is, isn't it?
How easy it is to turn scientists' heads to win a bit of money.
So seven.
Are you sure these are bad for you? Have a look at this Skrilla.
7.7% of tobacco industry related studies found potential harm. Only 7%, and like 95% of the others were like, there is potential harm here. And of course, nobody's able to draw full proper conclusions yet.
No,
but they're definitely saying, as long as they're not being bought by tobacco, they're saying, okay, we need to sort of take a good hard look at this. And they, you know, it's really interesting because they have bought into vaping.
Mm.
So literally, like British American Tobacco in 2019 had a market share in the vaping industry of 12%.
Mm.
And Juul, which you have probably seen Juul vapes around, so they're part owned by Altria, which is a company I hadn't heard of, doesn't take long to dig into it, and it's actually Philip Morris.
Sure.
So in 2003, Philip Morris basically became Altria, and they own 26% of the vaping market now.
Mm.
So they're sort of digging in there, and they're getting involved.
The name changes are always suspect as well, aren't they? You're like, and why is it that you don't? Oh, yeah. Yeah, because everyone knows.
Everyone knows.
I mean, not to trust you.
I sort of
all.
Feel sorry for guys. I mean, there must be a lot of people around called Philip Morris, mustn't there?
Well, it used to be called Philip Morris. Now they're all called Altria.
Yeah. You'd change your name, wouldn't you?
This is my husband, Altria. What?
So obviously, you know, we've had to be very careful, you know, and I can tell you that neither of our experts have conflicts of interest here.
Oh, that's good. That
so,
is good.
You know, so we've done a sort of due diligence on this. So I basically started off by asking Eve what happens when we inhale a vape compared to a cigarette.
When you inhale a vape or you inhale from a cigarette, it goes into your mouth and then down into your lungs. So they enter the body in similar ways. However, tobacco cigarettes are, they've been lit, they're like combusting, so the tobacco is burning. So there are much higher temperatures, and this means there's much higher exposure to lots of carcinogenic compounds and lots of different toxicants that are reaching the lungs and then traveling into the bloodstream. So obviously they affect the health of the lungs, but it's going to the bloodstream, that's also affecting the health of the whole body. And when you vape, it's a quite similar way. So it goes into the mouth, goes into the lungs, it then crosses into the bloodstream. So this is how the nicotine is getting into your body as well. However, there's much lower levels of these harmful chemicals and toxicants. They're almost at similar levels of people that are not vaping and not smoking. When you think about nicotine, so nicotine from cigarettes hits you a lot quicker, again, because it's been combusted, it gets into the bloodstream a lot quicker than if you're vaping. However, experienced vapers can kind of like learn how to puff and the types of e-cigarettes they can use, and they can generally get as high nicotine from a vape as from a cigarette.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've talked about nicotine in another episode.
Yeah.
But essentially, with nicotine, once you're addicted, it doesn't make you feel any better. It just gets you back to feeling normal.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the problem with all addiction.
Yeah, yeah.
And that normality is only temporary, and then you have a, then you sort of feel bad.
I mean, that's the awful thing about nicotine,
yeah,
isn't it? And,
yeah,
and we'll talk more about nicotine later, but basically, once you're addicted to it, you only feel like how everyone else feels when you've got your nicotine going on. And as soon as it drops away, you start to get that sort of sense of, I need something.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
Can I just quickly say a bit of kudos to the absolute legends who have figured out how to vape optimally to get as much nicotine in as possible. people are always going to...
Absolutely. So, but you know, straight away, you know, what our experts seem to be saying is like we're not seeing a significant amount of harm, like obviously from vaping. It's like, you know, there's the nicotine, but you know, you're not seeing like, you know, she said the levels are sort of chemicals similar to people who aren't vaping. So
immediately.
So that's kind of interesting.
Presumably there's some variation though, like different vape companies, different vapes will have different levels of well, different ingredients for starters and different amounts of toxins.
Yeah, yeah, they will, but they're sort of limited in a certain sense, certainly in the UK by sort of regulations. So you can have only 2% nicotine in the solution itself. Now there's going to be some variation because of like different ingredients, and you'll get different kinds of toxins, I guess, depending on, you know, flavorings and everything else. But you know, it's sort of you're at least sort of limited by the sort of, you know, the ability to you know how much you can vape. So a vape, I mean, for those who don't know, you've got a vape is basically made of a battery, a coil, and a liquid that the coil heats up and it evaporates, and then you inhale the vapor that comes out of that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's got the nicotine in. And those things come in various levels of complexity. So I remember when vaping started and everyone had these sort of, you know, Bond villain-esque sort of pens. Do you remember those? Those are like the basic bitches of vaping. Mm-hmm. And now we're on to what's called fourth generation vapes. So it's a bit like iPhones, effectively. You know, the technology gets better and better. But you know, in the UK...
But they're still doing the same thing.
They're still effectively doing the same thing, just sort of better. So that's what the manufacturers say. So you can't have more than 2 mil of the liquid in a tank. The refill is, I think it's like one container is 10 mils. Those are the regulations in the UK, at least. Nicotine strength, no more than 20 milligrams per milliliter. and they've got to be child resistant and tamper proof. And you're not allowed to have colorings, caffeine or taurine in there, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, taurine, which is the stuff that is in like Red Bull.
Monster. Taurine's quite good for you, actually, in that you need some taurine to overcome fears and stuff like that. That's a kind of different subject, but actually birds seek out taurine for their chicks when they're first newborns. You get it from eating spiders.
I'd love to see a robin just necking a can of Monster.
Doesn't need to. He's got spiders.
One thing that strikes me about the sort of the difference between cigarettes and vaping is that obviously cigarettes have a natural end, and then you have to light another one, and you know, some people chain smoke. But with vaping, you can pretty much just sort of endlessly puff on one vape.
And you see this. You see this, don't you?
Yeah.
People who just constantly got the thing in their mouth, constantly pulling on it. And actually, so I'm not sure how aware people are, like what the comparison is between, you know, puffing on a cigarette and puffing on a vape. But you've got, I think it's like a 10 mil bottle. It's basically like 1,000 puffs on a vape. Mm-hmm. And if you do 100 puffs, so a tenth of that, so one mil, that's about 10 to 15 cigarettes, which is quite a lot of cigarettes.
That is quite a lot.
I think.
I mean,
spoken as a non-smoker. But, you know, if you're getting through 10 to 15 cigarettes a day, you're probably thinking, okay, I've got a habit, at least.
But I suppose the key thing, though, is am I doing myself any harm? I mean, with 10 to 15 cigarettes, I know that I'm doing myself quite a lot of harm.
Yeah.
With the equivalent vaping, I'm not so sure.
Well, I don't know. So apparently the sort of the gauge is that if you're doing more than 10 mil of liquid on your vape a day, you're a heavy vapor. So I guess that's, you know, that's one refill a day is more than 1,000 puffs. So that's what, so we're talking about, that's 100 cigarettes. But yeah, I bet there's people who are doing that. I bet there's people who are doing that because they're on it all day.
It's just much easier, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You just sort of refill.
If you were smoking 100 cigarettes, you'd be
you would be...
gonna have to try and rein this in, I think. I mean, the expense apart from anything else.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting because I see people sort of vaping constantly and they don't seem to sort of take a break from it at all.
Well, I guess you can do it entirely absent-mindedly.
Yeah.
In a way that, I don't know, it feels like smoking is a bit more proactive. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to go through a set procedure to kind of...
Especially if you're like rolling your own or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
a whole ritual process, which might be part of the whole thing.
Well, that's a way that people...
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who've tried to cut down the amount of cigarettes they smoke by just smoking rollies.
Yeah.
Because it just takes longer and you can't be arsed.
Yeah. I remember when people used to say, I'm cutting down because I'm only smoking Marlboro Lights now. And all the research has shown, that's not you cutting down.
No.
I mean, Marlboro Lights and those sort of low tar cigarettes, everything was just like another tobacco industry scam, basically.
But also, even if you were doing that, you'd probably just end up smoking more because you're like, I'm not getting the hit that I want.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Whereas those legends who've learned how to vape like most efficiently.
So vaping's been around for, 15 years?
Yeah, 20 tops. Yeah.
But...
Well, for our friend, maybe 20.
Our early adopter. But more and the thing that just anecdotally I'm seeing and hearing about a lot from teachers actually in schools is that young people are really using it a lot more. Do we have any research about the accessibility of vaping for young people?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, what you see is like bright colours and fruity flavours as well, you know, are obviously the thing. A bit like, you know, when Alcopops sort of first came onto the market, the idea of mixing fruit juice with, you know, with alcohol, and all of a sudden you had something that was really palatable to young people.
Yeah.
And I think this is a kind of similar thing, but I asked Dr. Katie whether this is, in fact, attracting more young people.
So there are studies about the associations between vaping and smoking and young people vaping before they start smoking. And one of the top lines from the report is that if you don't smoke, don't vape. vaping isn't risk-free, particularly for young people who've never smoked. But obviously you do get people vaping first and then smoking first. However, the evidence suggests that youth are also likely to smoke first and then vape first. I think it's just that a lot of the focus is on the vaping and transitioning to smoking. And again, the evidence suggests that kids who try stuff try lots of different things. So if you try vaping, you also are more likely to try smoking, not because of the vaping, but because you're a person in a certain setting or part of a certain group or in a certain environment that means you're likely to try both products, not that the vaping causes the smoking.
So essentially, just if you're the sort of person who is interested in trying something new, interested in sort of seeking novelty, then yeah, you might try vaping and then you might also try smoking, but that's more about you than it is the vape.
So you'll be on the statistics as maybe having vaped first and therefore, you know, and then gone on to smoke, therefore, you know, they see it as a gateway. But
actually, it's not causal.
No, I don't think there's much evidence that it really is causal.
Mm.
That said, I think there's a lot of doctors and medical professionals who are sort of starting to say, no, you know, we've got to stop vaping because it's going to lead to at least a generation hooked on nicotine. And they're we're going to have this sort of terrible sort of healthcare catastrophe coming. So the guy called Andrew Bush, right, who's a consultant pediatric chest physician at Royal Brompton Harefield Hospitals, he said in The Guardian, I'm concerned that we are sleepwalking into a public health catastrophe with a generation of children hooked on nicotine. And he was part of a group that put out this statement from the European Academy of Pediatrics. And I'll read it. So they said, the EAP notes that nicotine is itself a drug of addiction with toxicity to the fetus, child and adult. And were vapes only to contain nicotine, their use to create a new generation of addicts would be rigorously opposed. However, e-cigarettes include numerous unregulated chemicals, including known carcinogens, whose acute and long-term toxicities are unknown. The EAP asserts that there is incontrovertible evidence that the acute toxicity of e-cigarettes is greater than that of traditional tobacco smoking. So it's like, whoa, that's a very strong statement.
That's strong stuff. And I think I've got a number of issues with it.
There was a study published in March that said it's not. There's no gateway effect. You know, you can't find it.
Irrespective of the gateway effect, that European Academy of Pediatrics quote is mad on a number of levels. I think, firstly, they're saying if the vape only contained nicotine, they would still oppose that because it creates a new generation of addicts. But you're not telling me what is wrong with nicotine. Like, what is nicotine doing that is bad for someone? Like, they're saying there's toxicity to the fetus, child and adult. I don't think I've ever seen anyone claim that or back
that. No.
So, I mean, you can't just make it up.
Also, toxicity is too vague a term.
Really vague.
You know, so...
There's nothing wrong. Like, I suppose my point is there's nothing wrong with being addicted to something if that thing doesn't cause you any harm, is there?
Well, I don't think so.
If I'm addicted to exercise, I mean, for example,
well, I'm addicted to caffeine. You know, unashamedly,
I think I am as well. If I don't drink caffeine, then I get a headache.
Yeah,
but I just do drink caffeine. So yeah, it's fine.
Exactly.
And
so because it's widely available.
Yeah, what is the issue? Like, I don't think
it's doing me any harm. People would say, oh, you know, it affects your heart health, or you know, but not to any significant degree. Look at me, I'm just fit as a butcher's dog. So,
I mean, I look at you and I think this guy, what, 51? But he's 52. So.
But, I mean, the thing is, so I guess my point of reading that out is, you know, on the one hand, you know, our experts for this program are saying, you know, there's no evidence that it's actually problematic and we're not seeing toxicity levels higher than their sort of average population.
Doesn't look like a gateway.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a gateway. Mm. And then other groups of professionals are saying, you know, this is a catastrophe in waiting kind of thing. And so there's no sort of consensus, and there's actually confusion really about it at the moment. And fundamentally, are you going to? Have you ever succeeded in stopping young people smoking or taking nicotine or other drugs? You know, nobody's ever succeeded in that.
Is this coming from? Apologies for a sort of vague pun in what I'm about to say, that scientists have had their fingers burnt in the past by tobacco companies, and now they are just on red alert that they just cannot bear the thought of that happening again, what happened with cigarettes.
Maybe, yeah.
And which, to be fair, is a legitimate...
Yeah. It's sort of an unconscious bias.
It's unscientific.
It's sort of like a conflict of interest in the other direction, in a way, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like you're so concerned not to endorse anything to do with big tobacco, quite understandably, that you actually might be overreacting to what's going on in this particular instance. But I mean, young people love it, surely.
Yeah. I mean, they do. I mean, you can just sort of, I mean, obvious things like. You can sort of vape without your parents finding out in a way that smoking was always difficult because you come home and you smell of cigarette smoke, whereas vaping, you can pretty much...
It's just bubblegum,
do it.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. it's
I mean,
really
like, and you don't need to learn how to... basically, you just need to press the switch and breathe in, don't you? You don't have to roll a cigarette. You don't need a lighter.
You don't have the embarrassment of that first cigarette where you're just like...
It doesn't go stale, it's like
sorry, can we just quickly go back? Sorry, I don't want to obsess about the what they call European Academy of Pediatrics, but they're saying the toxicity of e-cigarettes is greater than that of traditional tobacco smoking. Where are they getting that from?
I don't know. And it's sort
it's extraordinary.
It feels like that's an overreach that's going to do them damage in the long run, isn't it?
Exactly, because you read that and you just go, oh, well, that's bollocks.
Yeah.
So why would I trust anything that you say?
Yeah.
Well, I like it when we argue with the experts. Well, actually, we're not arguing with our experts.
No.
We're arguing with some other experts.
Yeah. Yeah. Balance. Stuff in just a balance.
But before we take down this research, going to have a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about the toxins in vape flavourings, addiction, and then the question, is vaping our next public emergency?
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad was thinking that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Wow and Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back. So one of the big differences between cigarettes and vapes, obviously, is the fact that they don't smell and taste like tobacco. I assume you probably can get tobacco-flavoured vapes.
I mean, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
But if I'm a smoker, that might be my...
I don't think any smoker's going, oh, I fancy a bit of a tobacco flavour.
No?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not an expert, as I say, but I think tobacco is the thing that you just get used to and tolerate.
Right.
I don't think anybody goes out looking for tobacco.
What about like a cigar-flavoured vape?
Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, it's a niche market and probably not for the 16-year-olds.
No. I mean, it'd be a very surprising result at the end of this episode if I launched my own vapes. If I come and go, do you know what? I've got a really good idea.
Cuban vapes.
Or Casey just flashed up an image of a load of tobacco-flavoured liquids.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Shows what I know.
There you go. Tobacco flavour vapes. Can you get cigar flavour vapes? Thank you. She's having a look. Yes, you can. Damn it. It's one called the Havana. Of course. They're all over it.
Yeah, okay, British American tobacco never miss a trick, do they?
Well, there goes my business idea. Yeah. Real shame. But anyway, there's a lot of lovely additives, I presume, going into all of these flavors.
Oh, yeah.
What do we know about the chemicals that are being used in those flavorings?
All right. So first of all, we know that traditional, normal tobacco cigarettes contain around 7,000 chemicals, many of which are toxic. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be the kinds of people who talk about chemicals as if all chemicals are bad.
No.
Because chemicals are everything, right?
Yeah.
But some of those are toxic chemicals. Mm-hmm.
Some of them are carcinogens.
Yeah, some of them are carcinogens. We don't know exactly what chemicals are in all of the e-cigarettes, because basically there's lots of these chemicals are approved for consumption, like in America by the FDA, for instance. It's like, yes, you can eat that. And we don't know whether that's the same as inhaling
slightly
it.
Different, isn't
yeah,
it?
Inhaling yeah, inhaling it may not be a good idea.
I don't want to inhale cream, do I? But
no,
I'm fine to eat it.
No. And there was a thing in 2019 where people...
Not the best example I've ever come up with, I don't think.
I just skated on from that.
I mean, it's true, but it's not a great example. I can see that.
So there was a thing in 2019 where people in America were hacking their vapes so that they could smoke cannabis oil, like THC stuff. But people were doing that with... there was a chemical in it called vitamin E acetate. Mm-hmm. And that was causing huge like lung problems for people. So basically, if you hack your vape to smoke cannabis oil and you add this stuff in, which is what people were doing, then loads of people were hospitalized over it. So it was really bad. It was there was 2,800 hospitalizations and 68 deaths in less than a year. And so everyone went, vaping's terrible. But actually, it was only vaping these hacked vapes that was the problem.
Yeah.
This vitamin E acetate is like a thickening agent that's basically something you really don't want in your lungs. So once you don't have that, actually you're taking it. So you've got to put aside all of that when we're talking about the toxins, because most experiences won't have that.
Are we still too early to say whether anyone is actually getting ill from smoking regular vapes?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
All right. But so we've got nicotine. Obviously, that's a toxic substance. It raises your blood pressure, spikes your adrenaline, obviously that increases your heart rate and your likelihood of having a heart attack. I mean, that's sort of, all that nicotine does is sort of spike that up and obviously make you addicted to it. So that's not great. But the thing is that the metal coil that the vaping liquid is evaporated by... That's metal, right? It contains metal and metal alloys that you then basically get atoms of those and molecules. You're inhaling
metals. Metal fumes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nickel and chromium. If you inhale those, that we know that they're carcinogens, right? So researchers have also found arsenic and lead in the liquid. In samples that they've done, doesn't mean it's in all liquids, but some of them.
I mean, they're bad news.
Yeah, they found flavorants like ethyl maltol, which is basically an artificial sweetener that tastes like cotton candy, and that's long been known to help transport heavy metals into cells. So copper, if you combine it with copper, basically if you put ethyl maltol together with copper and like, you know, spray it onto a living cell, the cell dies. Because it helps the copper just get in there and poison the cell. And those are not just any cells, but lung cells.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so that's probably not ideal. So you've got propylene glycol, which is used, it's actually quite a common additive in food, which is why you can put it in these things. It's also used to make antifreeze, paint solvent, and then you've got acetaldehyde and formaldehyde been found in the liquids, a weed killer called acrolein.
I think we're straying into that slightly dangerous territory.
Yeah, so
naming, like saying, oh, antifreeze.
Yeah.
And just sort of, and then immediately thinking, well, that must be bad.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't think that's quite right.
Yeah. No, I take that. Cadmium has been found, which is a toxic metal. Yep. We know that's toxic.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Benzene, also very bad, causes cancer. And of course, generally,
I still remember how to draw benzene. It's one of the
it's just
few,
a hexagon,
yeah, it's
isn't
nice
it?
Hexagon. Yeah, it's yeah. pleasing. Yeah, yeah, very pleasing.
Very nice.
The eye.
Not so great to inhale, though.
No. I much prefer drawing it.
Yeah, just draw it. So you've got all that stuff in there, or has been found in various liquids, I should say. So, you know, none of this is like, you know, every one of these things contains this amount of cadmium or this amount of, you know, weed killer. Interesting research from University of California, Riverside. They looked at these fourth generation, like the latest sort of vapes, which have like, they use actually alternating current, and they have a sort of way of controlling the current and the voltage and everything else to sort of, they say, sort of maximize the amount of flavor you get. And you can change the flavor, you know, by sort of adjusting the parameters, a bit like a graphic equalizer or something on, you know, sort of that kind of thing. And they found that they are very good at atomizing the metal in the coil. All right. So they found nickel, chromium, iron, gold, copper, zinc, tin, oxygen, oxygen's all right, presumably, silicon, carbon, and sodium in relatively high abundance in inhaled vapor. And obviously, you know, these have been linked to illnesses, so like cardiovascular and immune system things. So basically the most abundant were nickel, chromium, iron, and gold. So you're inhaling those in those fourth generation, you know, the top of the range sort of vapes. They're putting, you know, relatively high abundance of metal into your lungs. Is that a good idea?
Quite a baller move to just be sort of vaping gold. It's got high end. Yeah. What flavour is that? Gold flavour?
Yeah.
It's no big deal. What does it taste of? Well, disgusting, but it's expensive.
Yeah, so, you know, but that said, right, there was an experiment to look at, you know, what happens if you expose living cells to vapour from, like, brands of e-cigarettes versus cigarette smoke. So they did, like, the e-cigarette smoke, like, every 3 days or something. Every 3 days, I think, for a day, for 1 or 2 weeks, or up to 8 weeks or something like that. And they sort of, you know, didn't see anything remarkable, really, on these cells. But when they exposed them to cigarette smoke, the cells all died within 24 hours. So, you know, if we're looking at sort of relative harm, we're definitely seeing, you know, that vape, although it contains lots of stuff that you know, you wouldn't necessarily want to be inhaling if you were sensible. And this report, by the way, the Public Health England report, says, don't start vaping. You know, don't, if you're not vaping already, then don't start, because it's not good for you. But it is better for you probably than cigarettes.
Yeah, I mean, effectively, vaping is being pushed very hard as a smoking cessation tool.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite good for that. And it doesn't seem to me that there is any question at the relative harm of vaping versus smoking. It's much better for you. And yes, it sounds like there are trace amounts of some stuff that you don't really want to be inhaling.
Yeah.
But smoking is so much worse. So I guess it does really, like, the angle, which is good as a smoking cessation tool.
Yeah.
So yes, do that.
Yeah.
But not something to just take up if you weren't smoking already.
Yeah.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
But I am going to come back to this sort of issue that we can't know long-term effects.
Yeah, so I asked Eve about the long-term effects.
We kind of can't conclude on the long-term effects of e-cigarettes because they've only been around for about 10 years and we don't have the data to show long-term effects. I think the longest study that's followed up vapors is about 5 years. However, you can really kind of extrapolate from what we found in the short to medium term. So the short to medium term, we're very certain that they are significantly less harmful than smoking. However, as scientists, it's not our place to extrapolate that to long-term effects because we don't have the data. There is like a new area of research looking at biomarkers of potential harm, which hopefully will be able to give us some kind of those long-term effects data sooner. So you look at certain markers which are associated with certain disease progression in like 10, 15 years time. But it's a very new area of science, so we don't quite have the data to confirm yet. But hopefully, you know, that's where the vaping research is going and we will have that soon.
So it's interesting. So from my perspective, I sort of tried to look as broadly as possible at the literature that I could find on this. And what people are saying is, you know, we can sort of say there are these chemicals out here. We can't say in any quantitative terms how much harm they're doing.
No.
You know, so we just literally can't say anything. You know, we know there's toxins there. Some of those are carcinogenic as well. So we know people are sort of perhaps likely if, you know, over the long term, to develop some kinds of illnesses, and we don't know what those illnesses will be. There was a paper about bladder cancer saying, or people who research bladder cancer were saying they see, you know, the same markers, or, you know, they see biomarkers of carcinogens in e-cigarette users. But again, long-term implications are unknown. But they're not, you know, not saying it's a good thing. The people who are doing research on those fourth generation things said they are seeing things that are concerning. So they said there's certain epithelial lung cells. If you ask basically people to cough and spit into a thing and then analyze it, they're seeing cells there that are coming up that shouldn't be coming up from these fourth generation users that aren't coming up from third, second or first generation users. So they've got lung cells that are being damaged clearly to the point where they're just like, you know, there in your sputum. So there's like, you know, there's damage, there's toxins, there's carcinogens, but we actually don't yet know whether, I mean, is it for instance worse than air pollution? If you're living in a big city and you're breathing in, you know, really quite horrible air.
Yeah.
Is that worse than what you're getting from e-cigarettes?
Yeah.
I'd be really interested to know the answer to that.
And I suppose the argument would be that is interesting, but not necessarily relevant to the conversation. Should we be promoting vaping? Because if it's bad for you, like basically two wrongs don't make a right.
So yeah.
You probably don't want to be encouraging people to do something that is just as bad for you as breathing in terrible air in a city.
Like, no, I'm not saying we encourage people to vape. But at the same time, you know, the whole thing is cigarette smoking reduction is the big thing. And and for that, it seems to be a really good option so far.
But the fear is that you've got all these kids who are just starting vaping who maybe wouldn't have started smoking, but vaping.
Yeah. Although, yeah, you say option. That, like there's evidence for that.
Oh, no.
But there isn't evidence for that.
I think that's what I say. That is the fear. I don't think we know.
Yeah.
It's all very... It's very anecdotal, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have heard about popcorn lungs.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, so popcorn lung is caused by a chemical called diacetyl. And that's, it basically causes lung damage. And it's called popcorn lung because there were people who worked in a popcorn factory and they used to put this stuff into popcorn and they breathed it in and they had really sort of bad lung problems. But that's no longer used it's no longer permitted, certainly in e-cigarettes in the UK, so that whole that chemical's no longer an issue at all. And the other thing people talk about is vapes exploding. People always find things exploding. Like laptops are meant to be exploding all the time, and you know, and electric cars as well. It's like, you know, there's a battery problem. It's good, you know. And actually, basically, you know, there have been cases of vapes exploding or the battery sort of catching fire or whatever. Or exploding, and people keep them in their pockets, and maybe they get hot. I don't know, or maybe they're just faulty, or maybe they've been like tinkering with them or whatever. But it's not common.
Yeah. So we've sort of skirted around the issue. We don't know yet about the potential long term effects of vaping. We do know that there are some toxins in there, so we suspect that it might not be ideal. What do we know about the addictive properties? Presumably the same as smoking.
It's sort of, it has the potential to be the same, but actually the culture of vaping is quite different to the culture of smoking. So actually you can argue that it's worse in a sense because you can just keep puffing away on a vape.
Yeah. Idly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, without even thinking about it, as you say. Whereas, you know, a cigarette is a kind of, you know, start, smoke, stop kind of thing, and then you have a break. But this is something I put to Eve and Dr. Katie.
So it's quite difficult to compare the addiction of smoking and the addiction of vaping just because the products are used quite differently. So like the measures that we have to measure addiction and smoking don't really apply to vaping. However, what we do have is kind of just questionnaires that we've asked young people and questionnaires we've asked adults about, do they feel addicted? Do they feel like urges to vape and smoke? And generally, people who are currently smoking are reporting higher levels of, yes, I'm addicted, and higher levels of, yes, I'm urging to smoke, than people who are vaping. They do report that there is some addiction and there are the urges. I'm not saying that that's not there, but on the whole, it's generally less than people who smoke.
50% of youth said they felt addicted to vaping, but 83% felt addicted to smoking. So it's substantially higher among for smoking than it is for vaping. And you can also vape without nicotine as well.
Where's the fun in that?
Yeah, I mean, people probably just wouldn't do that, would they?
I don't know. If you want to look cool like all the other vapors,
yeah,
but you don't
want
to get
actually
addicted to nicotine, who's to know what's in your what's in your little bottle?
It's like when I used to get those little sugar cigarettes.
Yeah.
And just be cool guy.
The ones with a little pink end.
Yeah.
They look like,
yeah,
tried to look like a lit cigarette.
Very, very classy.
Amazing.
Yeah. This is all self-reported, isn't it? This is kind of using questionnaires to gauge levels of addiction. And obviously, questionnaires and self-reporting has a place in scientific study. But
it's not hugely reliable.
I don't think it is. Like, you can't accurately study addiction just by asking someone.
And
if
this is
addicted.
Why people are talking about trying to get biomarkers, because you get a much sort of bigger sense of how often and what sort of level people are smoking or ingesting nicotine at. But it's sort of got to start somewhere. And I think the issue with addiction to nicotine isn't as big as we want to make it. Really, I mean, like we've said, you know, it's not great. It's better not to be addicted to it, just like it would be better not to be addicted to caffeine. But
but neither of them are doing you.
It's not really life threatening.
Much harm?
No, I don't think so. So I'm sort of not that bothered. One of the things
it's quite human as well, isn't it, to get addicted? Like we get addicted to stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, you'd rather be addicted to this thing that's a bit safer.
Yeah. So Christopher Columbus arrived in the Americas, found the Indians were smoking tobacco, so nobody made them do it.
It's like, go on, give us a puff.
Actually, they didn't know what to do with it. They got given it as a gift when they arrived. Like the Indians gave them these tobacco leaves and they didn't know what to do with them. And then they watched, what the Indians did and started, getting involved. But I mean, interestingly, I think, from what I've observed, and this is anecdotal, I've observed that a lot of young people will tell each other that nicotine will help them calm anxiety. Even though because that's their experience, it calms their anxiety. They don't realize that actually you get addicted first and then it calms their anxiety. Mm-hmm. But lots of them, are in a position, with after the pandemic and with everything that's gone on, where anxiety, I think we probably are in an epidemic of anxiety.
So sort of self-medicating
anxiety.
And
so they're kind of being told by their peers, oh, this will help. Mm-hmm. And maybe that kind of misinformation is what we should be addressing more than the idea that, that you should just never touch this stuff.
But hold on, is that misinformation?
Well, the misinformation is that nicotine will help you if you haven't already started using it. So, one teenager says to another, oh, when I get anxious, I find actually a cigarette or vaping really helps. So maybe you should try that. But actually it won't help somebody who hasn't tried it, because all that will happen at first is they'll just get addicted to nicotine and then they'll get extra anxiety basically because of the nicotine withdrawal.
So
maybe that's the kind of information that, that should be sort of pushed more than just like, don't vape. It's a public health emergency coming along.
So does it help anyone then? Is that just a myth? that what? when so you know, it's a standard thing that people smoke to try and like calm their nerves.
Yeah,
it doesn't do that.
All it does is take away the jitters that they're experiencing because they haven't had nicotine recently.
Right.
So they do experience a relief, but it's not actually relieving
from anxiety. It's a relief
from nicotine withdrawal.
Okay. So let's try and answer our question: is vaping our next public health emergency? I'm going with I doubt it. Yeah, I think no. And it's certainly a lot better than the last one that is similar, which is smoking.
Yeah. But let's see what our experts have to say.
Yeah.
So I think vaping might be one of the solutions to a current public health emergency. So current smokers are likely to die prematurely from diseases such as cancer, respiratory, cardiovascular. At the moment, we have 6 million smokers in the UK, and it's predicted around 50% of these people will die prematurely from these diseases. So we're looking at around 3 million deaths over the next few centuries. So vaping really will be a way to help transition these people away from smoking and towards a healthier lifestyle.
The short answer is no, at least not according to the current evidence. And the long answer is that the vast majority of people who vape have smoked or currently smoke. And smoking is a behaviour that we need to stop. Around half of smokers will die from a smoking-related illness during their life. So it's literally flipping a coin, like heads or tails, will you die from smoking?
I love it when we second-guess our experts
and correctly.
And nail it.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. It has slightly made me want to try vape, though. So I don't think
Don't do it. It's not cool. It doesn't look great.
No. I accept that. But I've never, like, I look at some of the mad flavours and think, well, I do wonder what that is like.
Just drink some Monster, mate.
I can't drink Monster.
Really?
It's sort of too bleak, isn't it? Particularly with the given that I'd get up at 3:30. So imagine that, 3:30, reach for the Monster.
You might have found the solution to your life's problems.
I don't think I have.
Can a Monster at 3:30. Life's a good one.
Eureka is a Stack production presented by Dr. Michael Brooks and Rick Edwards. The production team is Temi Adebayo, Katie Baxter, Luke Moore and Charlie Morgan. Sound design by Katie Baxter. Special thanks to today's experts, Eve Taylor and Dr. Katie East. Please subscribe and rate wherever you listen to your podcast. It does make a massive difference. We also really love hearing from you guys. So if you have any burning questions you want us to answer, drop us an email at eureka@stack.london. Or you can find us, as always, on Twitter at EurekaPod.
Eureka is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.